say thank you so much to our worship team and to Elias back in the sound booth. Man, you know what? These guys come and they serve faithfully. Elias' sister's back there, I think. Yeah. Awesome. And they just serve, I mean, relentlessly. And they come here not to put on a show, but to lead us into worship. And if you get a chance to, just tell them thanks, because they really give a lot to us. So with that, go ahead and grab a seat, and here's Josh.
Praise God. Happy holidays. Happy Christmas days. Always around the holidays, people are gone and traveling and doing other things, and we just keep trucking along, amen? You know, I love it. No matter how many people ever show up to church, it just doesn't really matter. You know what? What really matters is where our hearts are at, what we're ready to do, what we're ready to receive from God, amen? You know, we come to church not so that we can come to a place where we're like, oh man, I love it that there's 200 people in our youth group. When we go to church, there's so many people. We don't come here just to meet with a bunch of people. We come here to meet and to worship the Most High God. And that needs to be on our hearts continually. That we come to church ready and willing to just pour out everything we've got to our Father in heaven. Amen? And it doesn't matter if our best friends show up every week or that one person gets there. You know, we want all to be saved. We want all to know Him. That's why we invite our friends to church. That's why we reach out to them. We want them to be here so they will experience God. Amen? So I just want to challenge us as a congregation, just especially when you look around, you're like, oh, what happened? Don't freak out. God is in control. He is the sovereign King. He is the one who lifts up nations, who lifts up rulers, who lifts up leaders, who will move through our ministry, right? He'll move through our lives. Each day you make it to church, I want to challenge you that you make the most of every opportunity. You don't allow this moment to slip by you. Amen? We're in the series called The Call to Character, most of you know. And we're talking about love. The character, the very nature of God that is to be within us, that is love. Amen? My message tonight is love always protects. Love always protects. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 says this, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with truth. It always protects. It always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. God, I thank you that your word has the power to transform our minds, our hearts, our lives. Lord, that you can do a miracle today. God, you can take what was old and you can make it new today. Lord, you can take what was broken and you can heal it and you can make it fresh. You can make it alive. You can make it well. God, I pray that our minds, our lives, our very character would be fixed tonight. It would be healed tonight. Lord, that we would learn about your love, God, that we would be transformed by its power. God, release your spirit onto us tonight. Move in your people's lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are we ready to hear the word? Sweet. Sweet. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. Remember, love always what? Protects. Love always protects. A protector is someone who defends someone or something, protecting them from harm or from injury. You know, a protector is really a mediator. A protector is someone that's willing to step in between. Right? They're willing to step right in between whatever the hurt was that was going to be to someone, that person is willing, or the injury, whatever, to step right in front of that thing. It's like Superman, the great protector. I mean, seriously, in any Superman movie or whatever you've ever seen, what does he do? He protects. He's always stepping in front of the car. And just like, right? He just steps right in between bullets, flying thingies. Right? He just stands right in between whatever it is that was going to harm or hurt or injure. Or he flies down and he rescues that person that was falling. He protects. Love always protects. So, as we just dig into God's weird word here, His weird word. He's so wacky and weird. I love it. Jesus is so weird. No, He's a word. His word is good. Chapter 8 of John and verse 3. Are we ready? The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. He straightened up and said to them, "If any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away at one at a time, the older first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." What an awesome example of being the protector. This woman is dragged in front of everybody who knows what she was wearing. She was caught in the act of adultery, probably set up by the Pharisees. Dragged in the middle of everybody, completely not only ashamed and embarrassed in front of everyone, but they're going to kill her. They're going to kill her. And what does Jesus do? He steps right in the middle of the whole deal. And he just goes, "No, I'm going to protect this one." He probably does something that we don't have the wisdom to be able to do, only if the Holy Spirit could come on us in such a way to be able to think that he would sit and you're right on the ground, probably the sins of the people that were wanting to cast the stones, you know. He writes all their sins on the ground and says, "Hey, one of you, first without sin, you throw the first stone," right? But what does he do? He just stands right in between them. Now, if he made one wrong move, what do they do to him? The same thing. They just want to accuse him and kill him because they don't like him. They're trying to trap him in some way that they can snuff out his ministry or kill him. So Jesus takes the risk to just protect, just go in between. See, there's a lot of things about God's love, a lot of things about his nature, his character, the very essence of who he is, that will empower us and motivate us to do great things. It'll motivate us to do very selfless things. To be protectors of those who are weak, those who can't protect themselves. These things are really important to the heart of the God, to the heart of the Father. 1 Corinthians 16 and 14 says, "Do everything in love." Romans 13:10 says, "Love does no harm to its neighbor." Psalms 12:5 says, "Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them." I tell you, God's heart is for those who can't protect themselves. His heart is for the weak, the needy, the broken, those who are being unjustly treated. His heart is to protect them, to arise and protect them, to stand up and just go in between them and to keep them from harm. You know, there was one night that my wife and I, we went to this movie, and some of you might have heard this story before, but we go see Troy, which I do not recommend this movie. But I thought it was going to be good. And everybody else recommended it to me. So if you recommend to me, shame, shame. No, just kidding. So we watch this movie, and it's late. We roll out of this movie, it's like 1 a.m. Just my wife and I. And we're strolling out in the parking lot, and these two goons, I think one of them thought he was Achilles. I don't know. I think he was on steroids is what he really was on. He was having some kind of roid trip or whatever, and he comes out, and he just pushes me, and he starts trying to beat me up. He's like, "You're kicking my seat." I'm like, "Who are you?" Somehow he was just wanting to pick on somebody or whatever. Nobody's in the whole parking lot. They're all gone. And he starts pushing on me, and he's like, "Dude, blah, 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 bleep, bleep, bleep," pretty much just swearing at me, like, constantly. And he's telling me how much of a weenie I am and all these other things. And guess what my wife does? She doesn't punch him, no. But she stands right in between me and this big goon. And I'm like, I'm just totally shocked. I can't even believe it's happening. I'm really confused. I'm asking him questions. "So what happened?" You know, I mean, I am totally, completely, like, stunned. I can't even believe what's happening. He's trying to push me, and my wife is standing right in between me and him. And I'm, like, kind of, like, wanting to get her out of the way. But at the same time, I'm wanting to get away. Him and his buddy, you know. So, you know, she stands right in between me and him. And if she wasn't there, we would have went to town. It would have happened. And I don't know what would have happened. I probably would end up in the hospital or something cool like that. But you know what? My wife, because of her love, not for the goon, right? Her love for me. She wanted to protect me. She didn't care that there's no way she could beat that guy up. She didn't care. She didn't even think about it, not even for a second. It was this instant reaction for her because of her love for me. She wanted to protect. She just stands in between. She's like, and she's all, you guys would have been so impressed with my wife. She is an animal. So, I mean, if it wasn't for her, it would have been done. I'd probably have been in the hospital, something like that, something fun. But love always protects. You know, there's a lady in our church, and she was just had her baby, her first baby, and she's probably, I think she's about 30, and this is really recent. She's walking with her baby in her house, and she starts to walk down the flight of steps, and she slips with her baby in her arms. Guess what she does? No, she doesn't do that. She throws her baby. No, she doesn't throw her baby. "Oh, Jesus, oh Lord, help me." No. "My baby." No, moms don't do that. I don't care how good of a mom you are. If you start falling down and you've got your baby in your arms, you do everything you can do. You don't care. You don't even think about your own body. This woman did not even think about her own safety. That she just grabbed her baby and she just protected it. And she slid all the way down this flight of steps and she broke her back. It's really true. But think about this, guys. Love always protects. It's the love of God inside of her. No matter what the adversity, what the consequences would have been for her own life, she was like Superman, willing to step in between the bullets and take them. She's willing to, whatever the cost. Because if she was by herself, she could have just grabbed the handrail, anything, right? She probably wouldn't have broke her back. But that wasn't an option. Sometimes that's not an option. God cares about the weak. He cares about the widows, the orphans, the broken, the needy, those that cannot fend for themselves. You guys, we live around these people every day. Every day, we go in and out of stores, and we see them right there, and we just walk by. One of the other pastors on staff, driving his car, it's dark. It's about a month ago. Sees a blind man walking on the side of the road. Young guy. Probably like 24 or 23 years old. Blind. Walking on the side of the road in the snow. No sidewalk. In town over on Huffman, guys. With his cane. It's like 10 degrees out. He's like, I'm hungry. This pastor stops. And he goes, hey. I know this is awkward, but you know, I'm a pastor here in town, and I really want to help you. Where are you going? He's like, no, I'm okay, I'm good. He's like, no, listen, I do not want to leave here. You need help. I want to help you. I want to do this. Let me help you. The guy's like, all right, fine. Lets him in his truck. The dude was just hungry. He's like, it's late. I just needed to eat. I didn't think I could make it till morning. You know, it's really hard for me to get around. I have a car, and I just all of a sudden went blind like a couple, years ago. Come on. Love always protects. Who knows what could have happened that night, guys? The guy's walking on the road in the dark, and he's blind in the middle of the night. That's not safe. But are we willing? We've talked about this willingness a lot. Are we willing to see those kind of people? And are we willing to do what it takes to protect them with God's love? I want to read to you a poem. This is a Christmas poem. It's Christmas. It's a Christmas poem. And so I want you to just think about, all of the different ways that people stand in between for you. Right? How God's love stands in between. This is a little twist on just kind of even the direction we've been going, but you're going to get it. This is titled A Different Christmas Poem. The embers glowed softly in their dim light. I gazed around the room and I cherished the sight. My wife was asleep, her head on my chest. My daughter beside me in an angelic rest. Outside the snow fell, a blanket of white, transforming the yard. In a winter delight. The sparkling lights in the tree, I believe, completed that magic that was Christmas Eve. My eyelids were heavy, my breathing was deep. Secure and surrounded by love, I would sleep. In perfect contentment, or so it would seem, I slumbered. Perhaps I started to dream. The sound wasn't loud, it wasn't too near, but I opened my eyes when it tickled my ear. Perhaps just a cough. I didn't quite know. Then the sure sound of footsteps outside in the snow. My soul gave a tremble I struggled to hear, and I crept to the door just to see what was there. Standing out in the cold and the dark of the night, a lone figure stood. His face was weary and tight. A soldier? I puzzled. Some 20 years old, perhaps a Marine huddled in the cold. Alone in the dark, he looked up and smiled, standing watch over me, my wife, and my child. What are you doing? I asked without fear. Come in this moment. It's freezing out here. Put down your pack. Brush the snow from your sleeve. You should be at home on a cold Christmas Eve. For barely a moment, I saw his eyes shift away from the cold and the snow blown in drifts to the window that danced with warm fire's light. Then he sighed and he said, it's really all right. I'm out here by choice. I'm here every night. It's my duty to stand at the front of the line that separates you from the darkest of times. No one had to ask me or beg or implore. I'm proud to stand here like my fathers before. My gramps died at Pearl on the day in December. Then he sighed. That's a Christmas Graham always remembers. My dad stood watching the jungles of Nam. And now it's my turn. And so here I am. I've not seen my own son for more than a while, but my wife sends me pictures. He sure got his smile. Then he bent and he carefully pulled from his bag the red, white, and blue American flag. I can live through the cold and being alone, away from my family, my house, and my home. I can stand at my post through the rain and the sleet. I can sleep in a foxhole with little to eat. I can carry the weight of killing another or lay down my life with my sister and brother who stand at the front line against any and all to ensure for a time that this flag will not fall. So go back inside, he said. Harbor no fright. Your family is waiting and I'll be all right. But isn't there something I can do at the least? Give you money, I asked. Prepare you a feast. It seems all too little for all that you've done, for being away from your wife, your family, your son. Then his eyes welled a tear that held no regret. Just tell us you love us and never forget. To fight for our rights back at home while we're gone. To stand your own watch no matter how long. For when we come home, either standing or dead, to know you remember we fought and we bled. Is payment enough? And with that, we will trust that we mattered to you as you mattered to us. Now, just for a brief moment, I want you and I to think about the payment and the sacrifice, the mediation, the protection that our government, that our soldiers give us every day. Right now, guys, we meet here today because they fight and they've bled to protect our freedoms, all of what our country stands for, good and bad, this year. And for the rest of your lives, I want you to respect, to lift up, to honor those that have protected you, that have protected your fathers, your mothers, your grandmothers, your grandfathers, all throughout the years. Because when you honor one soldier, whether they haven't even gone to battle or not, they're willing. Their willingness, they represent all of those who have gone before them and all of those who have died for our freedom to protect. See, God's love protects. It's willing to go in between. I just want to really encourage you. This isn't the main point, but this is something that I want our community to change and to grow in, is that when we see people that are willing to go in between, officers, firefighters, people in the military, that we have the courage to just stand up and to let them know that we care as much as they've cared for us. So be brave. Be courageous and just go right up to them and look them in the eye and just say, thank you. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for protecting my freedom. Thank you for serving our community. You go up to an officer and you just thank him. Thank you for serving our community. Officers lay it on the line for us, guys. And at Christmas time when we're all snuggling our bed and everything really nice, right? Guess where they are? Dude, they're out in the city protecting your home so that nobody is going to come in and rob you on Christmas night. And I promise you, if they were not there, it would happen. It would happen. Love always what? Love always protects. John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans, widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Let's look at Luke 7. Luke 7:36. Here's another example of when Jesus is with others and when he protects. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. This is Luke 7:36. So he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in the town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet and weeping.
she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees had invited that had invited him saw this, they said to, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. But she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a centurion moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had paid the money back to him. So he canceled both their debts. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but the woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, here her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this that even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." You know, when we offer our lives to the Lord, it's a great offering. It's more than sometimes we really think it is. The Lord's not interested in us just giving him a little bit of who we are. The bar is not low. The standards are not low. The call to your character is not weak or simple. But it is a great challenge that you or I would say, "Yes, God, you are the Lord of my life. You have it all. I'm willing to allow you to transform all of my character, all of who I am." See, the woman who was forgiven much, she loved much. And here's the thing, is when we realize and we understand, we need to really realize how much we have been forgiven. See, the thing about her is that she really realized the debt that was forgiven. If she was the example of the 500 denarii, right? Do you think the guy that was only forgiven five, like, do you think that the Pharisees or whatever had less sin than this woman? No. No way. There's no way. They had different sin. That's right. But they weren't aware of it. They thought they were all good. I promise you, everybody has a lot of sin. And whether it's in seeds in your heart and you're not willing to really accept it and just tell yourself the truth and pretend like the Pharisees did that they are all good. Hey, God's forgiven a little. That's why they didn't, with tears, come to Jesus' feet and worship him. Instead, they stand and judgment of her. So what does Jesus' love do? Protects. What is our love to do? Protect. When you get into social arenas, invited to somebody's party, "Ooh, I get to go to the party. Ooh, I think we're going to wear slippers and watch movies." Right? But then you get there and your friends are doing what? To maybe somebody there. "That kid. Why did she come? Who invited her?" Or you're standing in your schools and, or even at your church, wherever. This happens everywhere. And someone begins to attack somebody else. Verbally.
They start tearing him down. They start talking bad about him. What do you do? Have you been forgiven much? Is your heart truly broken for that person that can't defend themselves? Are you willing to step in and protect them? Hold on a second, guys. Time out. Toot. Beep, beep. Whoa. What are you saying? You know what? You need to stop. You need to stop talking about this person. I care about this person. And this is not right. And if it means you got to take that person, call your mom, get in your car, drive them home, take them to your house, and not allow them to continue to be damaged, that's the right thing to do. Remember, Jesus reached out and touched the leper. He allowed the sinful woman to weep at his feet and to wash them, to touch him, guys, to be a part of his life. And he is willing to sacrifice his social status before all the other religious leaders. He didn't care what they thought. You can't care what people think about you socially when it comes to allowing God's love to move through you. You can't care. Your love must protect. It must protect those around you. You've got to protect your friends. You've got to protect your enemies. You've got to protect weak and needy, broken people that you don't even know. You've got to protect your leaders. You've got to protect your pastor. Come on. You've got to protect your governors, your presidents. Love always protects. Always. That's every time, all the time. So you want to know in a situation if you should protect or not? You need to think about what the word always means. It's not rocket science. Get a dictionary. Look it up. Write the definition on your hand. Write love above it. Love always. What is the definition of always? Every time, never, without fail, continually, all the time, never stopping. Yes. Okay. Always. Always means always, guys. It's not complicated. Write it on your hand so you don't forget. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. See, as Jesus was protecting this woman, he was digging in into something much deeper. He says, By your faith, your sins have been forgiven. See, now look, Jesus, he's the ultimate mediator. He protects you and me from our sin. He protects us. His love protects us from our own sin. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. See, there's one mediator, one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself up as a protector, right? As a ransom, protecting us from our sin. Because you know what your sin does? You guys know what sin does to us? Sin separates. Sin destroys. Sin kills us. It doesn't only just kill us spiritually and separates us from God, as it just says right there, for eternity. But it separates and it destroys and it erodes anything good that we could have and experience in our lives. Our relationships, our happiness, our joy, right? Sin erodes and kills all of these things. Sin will kill your body. Slowly, it'll eat it away. But Jesus died for all this stuff, guys. He died to go between that, to stand between you and your sin so that your sin cannot continue to destroy you. Man, it's awesome. He's the ultimate mediator. He's the ultimate
go-between. His love was so tremendous that he's willing to carry our burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. Wow. See, as God's love begins to penetrate your heart, you begin to release your life to the Lord, and you allow His love to just fill you up, and you realize how much you've been forgiven. I've been forgiven much. Every day I serve God, I realize a little bit more how much more I've been forgiven. And my debt gets deeper and bigger all the time. And God's love covers that multitude of sin continually. It's amazing. You know, I get more and more thankful every year that I serve God. Every year that I realize how much more of a broken, messed up guy I have been, and that I am. And without God's love mediating between me and all that sin, I'd just be a tool of destruction. Man. God's love covers a multitude of sin. How are you covering sin around you? You're not pretending like it doesn't exist, but you're not exposing it. Are you exposing other people's sin? Man, in your schools, in your families, in your homes, are you exposing people's sin and tearing them down, embarrassing them, dragging them in front of everybody, like the woman who was caught in adultery? You got to check your heart. You got to check your heart. Is your love protecting others? Is it protecting? You know, the Bible, there's an occupation that is called a watchman. And the watchman stands on a tower. He stands and he watches out for people coming into the city, and really watches over pretty much whatever is important. But the main occupation of the watchman is to stand up on a tower and to look out from all corners of the city and to see if someone is coming and to make sure that everything's all right. The watchman's main job is to protect the city. So if someone's coming, he shouts out, he goes, dude, 2,000 men coming to kill us. Right? Or he's like, there's one guy with no clothes on. What? No, whatever. And he lets people know, close your eyes. Right? So the watchman is just there at all times and all hours to make sure, to see if there's a threat or a danger coming. You know, God has called you and me to be watchmen on the tower. Getting yourself in a place where your perspective is where you can see the hurt and the needs in other people. You can see when people are broken and needy and struggling. See, but you got to climb up that tower. You got to rise above all of your normal city living, your normal going to school, trying to get caught up in all the social scenes and everything that's going on, worrying about yourself. You got to take the time out to get up onto that tower and to see people, see the danger coming. When it's afar off and you can read, you can see it coming, and then prepare, right? If the army's way out there, he goes, get ready! Close the gate! We got to get our groove on. Get your armor on. It's time for war, right? You need to become a watchman. One that's willing to keep your eyes open and ready to allow God's love to come through you and protect others. Amen? It's good. Okay. Above all, love each other deeply. Above all things, guys. Love each other deeply. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would just move among your people. God, that in our lives would just be penetrated by your love. Lord, that we would not just stand by and keep our eyes closed and not see people that need to be protected. God, let your love just compel us to protect others. That we would always protect, no matter what the risk to our own lives, God. That we'd always protect. We'd always be willing to stand in between people that are marginalized, outcast, people that are just can't defend themselves. God, let us be watchmen on the tower, ready and willing to protect your people. And I pray that your love would just grow in our hearts, God, in this season, Lord, even to the Christmas season, God, that it is all about you and your love coming here to protect us from our sin. God, I pray that you would just open our hearts, to open our time, our schedules to reach out to people, to help them. God, bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, I love you. It's good. I'm glad you came today. Tomorrow night, we're going to party. Tomorrow night, we're going to really party. It's going to be fun. Bring a friend. Seriously. If you want to invite somebody, find anybody and bring them. It's free. There'll be food. There'll be candy. Amen? That's good. There's karaoke. I will sing. No, I shouldn't tell you that. Nobody will show up. All right. We love you guys. We'll see you next week, or we'll see you tomorrow night. God bless.